because it's, I believe this is going to be a good year. Now, I don't think it's going to be an easy year, because it usually isn't. And see, the only thing that makes a year a bad year is how you approach it, because every year is hard. And newsflash, because I'm going to be 35 years old this year. That's right. My beard's only going to get grayer. You don't got to clap for that, because I wasn't going to. What I found is every year gets harder. It doesn't really get easier. Like I thought, oh, well, when my kids get older, it'll get easier. But that's not true. They just get louder. And I thought, like I remember being 15 years old thinking, I'm now a man. I remember sitting in church thinking, I'm a man now. I'm 15. And I remember thinking, now I can do real stuff and it'll be easier because I'm not a junior higher anymore or whatever. And I remember thinking that, and then life just got harder. So the difference between a good year and a bad year is what you do with all the problems in between. See, some people focus on all the bad, and they're like, oh, this year sucked. It was terrible. This person, you know, this thing, this issue in my life. But the only difference is everybody has a hard year. But the people that have a good year know what to do with the difficult things that the year gives them. You know, the only way to find gold is to move a lot of dirt. Right? Now, if you get frustrated looking for the gold in the middle of the dirt, you just have a big muddy hole. But a person that's determined to take that muddy hole and turn it into a mine is a person that takes the mud and knows what to do with it to find the valuable, the gold, the precious inside of it. So this year, you've got to be able to listen. And this year, you've got to be able to be led by God and his whispers. Because a lot of times we're waiting, and you know, if you've been in church for any amount of time, or maybe you're any kind of spiritual person, there's always this idea of prayer and listening to God's voice, right? Like, God, just send me a sign. But the problem is this, is a lot of times we get caught up like, oh, is that the voice of God, or was it me? Or, you know, the problem is this, is not so much that we're looking for God in these big spectacular signs and wonders, and oh, there's, you know, God, if it's really you, then you'll do this, you know, make the thunder happen, and okay, it happened, but God, if it's really, really you, do it again just in case, right? And we ask for things like that, which is, you know, fine, whatever. But if we would just slow our life down, and if we would just pay attention, you'd begin to hear the voice of God in his whispers. I remember hearing a story in the Bible about a man named Elijah, and he was in such a bad place. People were trying to kill him. He was running. He literally hiding in the forest, in the caves, and he's hiding in the mountains, and he's just hiding from all these people because they're literally on the hunt for his head. And he's crying out to God, and God's like, hey, listen up. And there was an earthquake, and there was, you know, lightning, and there was thundering, and there was, I mean, literally like the earth was shaking. And the Bible says through all these things, it was not God's voice, which is funny because those are a lot of times in the Bible what God's voice kind of has accompany it, earthquakes and fire there. But then the Bible says this, it says God wasn't in the earthquake, and he wasn't in the massive wind, he wasn't in the fire. But then it says there was a small gentle whisper. And God spoke. You see, this year, I believe that God wants to do something in your life. I don't know what that means. I don't know. Because there's, you know, 100, 150 people in this place that all have 100, 150 different jobs that God has for you, which is kind of cool to think about it, that we could do 150 different miracles in this place this week. But you'll find out what it is if you can disconnect from the distractions, the fire and the smoke, the big, and just kind of get yourself tuned in to what God wants to say to you. You see, this is a year that God really wants to grow each and every one of us. Just about 3-4 weeks ago, I was talking to Lisa, one of our youth leaders in the back, and I was saying, you know, Lisa, I just tell you, I know in my heart, God's telling me, he's put it in my heart that this is time to grow, like painfully grow. If anybody's ever gone through a growth spurt, you know exactly what I'm talking about. Like those knee aches and stuff like that, and you're like, oh, my back. You're like, I'm 80 years old, but I'm only 15. Oh, Lord, no. And I don't know if that was just me. And obviously, my growth spurts were not very, they were not very large spurts. But I got a couple of them because I used to one time be shorter than this. But growing in your life can be a really painful thing. And I believe that God wants to take us through each and every one of us in a place where God stretches you and you're beyond your capacity now. And whether that's your capacity in your schooling, whether that's your capacity with your family, whether it's your capacity to trust God for the audacious, the unusual in your life, whether it's to trust God for that college scholarship, or whether it's to trust God, you know, just to be able to get closer to him in new different ways, I believe it's all going to happen when we find this way to listen to God's voice. You see, all growth in your life, whether it's your grades, whether it's relationships, whether it's with your walk with God, all growth always starts in an invisible way. Now, I know that's kind of strange, but it's not even magical. It's just practical, right? All growth starts in the unseen, right? Like, you get a little seed. Like, I have a garden in my backyard. We grow, like, watermelons and tomatoes and all this kind of stuff. It's really nice, you know. I just, orange season, man. Beautiful, beautiful oranges. But it all growth starts in an invisible way. You take the seed, you put it in the ground, and like it's growing, you just can't see it. And by the time you can actually see that little sprout, it's already been growing for days and weeks without you knowing what was happening. You see, sometimes in this place, you can get frustrated and say, I just don't feel God's presence. So, Pastor Richard, I've been in church forever, and now it's like boring. Or you could say, like, Pastor Rich, I read my Bible and I read this and that, and that, and I don't even know what it's talking about. But you see, by you doing those things, Pastor Rich, I pray and it still hasn't happened yet. God's growing you simply by you doing that. You just can't see it or feel it. Why? Because God's working the invisible inside of you, the faith that you can't see on the inside of you. And when you allow God to work the invisible inside of you, when you begin to grow you on the inside, then it gets you ready for growth on the outside. It took me 13 years of praying to see the answers come to me in some of the areas of my life. Some things I've been praying for more than 10 years and they still haven't happened. And I'm telling you, if I didn't allow 13 years of invisible work to be done, I would never have seen that one final day where the answer finally became physical. See, some of us in this place, you're going to go home, and we prayed for families. You're going to go home, and it's one of the first things that's going to happen is you're getting an argument. And I'm sorry, I don't mean to like speak like negative, but it could possibly happen. And then the temptation is, Pastor Richard, the prayer didn't work. God must not be real, or what did I not have enough faith? No. Work through the argument. You keep your mouth shut, and you believe God to do something invisible. It's something spiritual inside of mom or auntie or grandma or grandpa or yourself. And by you trusting God, God is beginning to grow you on the inside. And all of a sudden, what's going to happen as God begins to grow you on the inside through the whispers? It's going to become a loud explosion of boom in your life. And all of a sudden, as you allow God to grow you on the inside, it just like you'll shed the unfaithfulness, you'll shed the garbage, you'll shed the depression, you'll shed the fights and the strife and the argument, you'll shed it like an old skin. And all of a sudden, God will bring the answer before you. I love it. In the book of Acts, it opens up. The book of Acts, if you don't know, it's the beginning of God doing amazing things through his people after Jesus rose from the dead. It's the beginning of the church, right? And it begins with this little whisper. In Acts 1, it says the apostles, the disciples, God's people returned to the city of Jerusalem. And it says when they arrived in verse 13, they went to the upstairs room house where they were staying. It says in verse 14, they met together and they were constantly united in prayer, along with Mary, the mother of Jesus, with these women and the brothers of Jesus. And during this time, there were about 120 people together in one place. And the man Peter stood up and addressed the 120. They had a little church service in somebody's attic. This quiet little group of people coming together praying, kind of like in this room, about the same. And as they met together, Little did they know that 120 people in a little nobody city would become one of the loudest, most exuberant, biggest events in the entire history of man. Because you see in the next chapter in Acts 2 verse 1, it says, now in the day of Pentecost, the believers, these 120 people, they met once again in this upper little room, this little attic, and they begin to have a little tiny prayer service. And maybe somebody brought macaroni and cheese for the potluck afterwards, and somebody else brought some, you know, some Hawaiian rolls, and another person brought a little bit of chicken. Another person brought, you know, maybe they brought some hamburger patties to roast up afterwards, and they were going to have a nice little Baptist party. And all of a sudden they came together in this little attic, and it says suddenly as they were praying, suddenly a sound from heaven like the roaring of a mighty windstorm began to come in, and it says it began to fill the house from the bottom to the top where they were sitting. And then all of a sudden it looked like these suckers were on fire. It says tongues of fire appeared and it settled on each and every one of them, and everyone present was filled with the Holy Spirit. And all of a sudden the little whisper of a prayer meeting began to get a little loud and sweaty, and a little bit of a ruckus happened, and they began to speak in other languages, and as the Holy Spirit began to give them this miraculous ability. And it says at this time in this little neighborhood that this attic was in, it says that there were these Jews from every nation. There was a big parade going on outside, and it says that the thing in this attic began to get so loud in verse 6 that it says that the people on the outside heard what was happening on the inside. The invisible began to become visible. The inside began to get a little too big, and it began to spill to the outside. And it says they heard the loud noise, and everybody came running to see what the commotion was. You see, they didn't even have to go to them. The people came to this attic, and they said, "What is?" They said, I hear a party, and I want to be a part of that party. It's like somebody's playing the right music, and I like what they're saying, and it sounds a little interesting. I've got to get myself involved in that. And it says they heard the loud noise, and everybody began to come running, and they were bewildered to hear miraculously people speaking in languages that they had never spoken of about this man named Jesus Christ. You see, what began as a quiet whisper became a loud roar of a windstorm. And it says further on in verse 37, it says, now Peter, the big coward who would always say the wrong thing at the right time, found the lion inside of him and began to say the right thing at the right time. And it says Peter began to tell them about Jesus. And it says his words pierced their hearts. And the people began to look and say, what are we supposed to do now? Something was told to them. The change inside of their lives was so big that it began to cause these people, these strangers they had never met before, to want what they had inside of them. So Peter said, I don't know, repent, right? And that's not like super popular right now these days. People say repent. That's like the stuff you think like those crazy Christians do at the beach with the signs. Repent, you know? But Peter goes old school, right? And he just goes crazy old school dude at the beach with a sign thing. Well, then repent. He said change your mind. That's all it means. Repent means change your mind. You're doing things your way. Now let's do things God's way. That's all it means. Repent of your sins, turn to God, and then let's get you baptized in the name of Jesus for the forgiveness of your sins, and then you'll receive the gift of the Holy Spirit. You'll get what we got. We had it on the inside, now it's spilling on the outside. You're going to get it on the inside of you, and then it's spilling on the outside. And then it's going to get on the inside of somebody else, and it's going to get on the outside of them, and then it's going to go and go and go. People's lives will be changed, and it'll be pretty nice. And then it says, Peter continued preaching for a long time, which I will not do. We'll leave that to Peter right now. And he urged his listeners, save yourselves from this crooked generation. Get fixed, because this world is broken. And it says the people that believed when they heard what Peter said without a sound system caused there to be added to the church 3,000. And they went from 120 people that started off growing their life in the invisible, growing their lives in the quiet, growing their lives in the silence, growing their lives when they wondered, God, is anybody listening? God, are you going to answer any of these prayers? God, are you going to change anybody's lives? God, we gave up everything for you, and all we are is we're stuck in an attic with 120 weird people. Like, you guys can't fit in my attic. You cannot fit 120 people. So you know it was crowded and nasty because they did not have deodorant back then. And so it was just disgusting, I am sure. And then when they start getting loud and they try to do a praise break and stuff, just even worse. I can only imagine, like, we're not lifting our hands in service today, okay, guys? Keep them down. But all of a sudden, all their questions were answered because they allowed God to work growth inside of them. You see, this year is, you choose, good or bad year, you choose. Because there's no excuse for you to have a bad year this year. I'm going to tell this to myself as well. Because there's too many good things. You know, Kia and Jasmine were talking about it today. Look, man, we have, as far as your youth ministry, The Rock Church, we're doing big things this year. As far as outreaches, we've doubled our camps. We're doing 2 camps. We're starting registration next month, right? So we're going to be able to get more people up at these places. We're doing 2 missions trips. Look, if you've been to camp every year and you're like, it's the same thing, well, then let me encourage you to get off your butt. And instead of going up into a mountain and receiving, how about you get off your butt and you get on an airplane and you go give, okay? I think the problem with being a boring Christian is the fact that you're not doing anything with it. So how about we challenge you to get off your butt, get out of the country, and go serve somebody that you'd have never met before, okay? So if anybody in this place that's bored, I'd like to challenge you to go get a passport right now and then save up for Nicaragua because we're going to South America, okay? Don't tell me, I don't like church. Well, you know what? Then how about you be the church and let's go ahead and do it that way, okay? And if you're thinking, Pastor Richard, I can't leave the country because the FBI put me on a no-fly list. Hey, that's cool too. That's cool too. I got the beard. They won't let me on the airplanes either. So then how about you just jump out on our Saturday afternoon outreaches? That'd be kind of cool too. Or how about this? We're gonna start in a couple months. We're gonna start a leadership academy where we're gonna teach you guys how to be leaders in your schools, in your families, in the future. We're gonna teach you guys what it takes to be somebody that can change somebody's life for Jesus Christ. We're gonna talk to you guys about how to get to the next level. If you want to be a part of the ministry and leadership here, then we're gonna make you go through it, and that'll be pretty good. Teach you guys how to preach, teach you how to do all this kind of stuff. Because I'm waiting for the day where you guys begin to check in with me and my team and say, you know, hey, Rod or Armando, you wouldn't believe it. I did a lunchtime Bible study, and it was just like what Peter was doing, and people getting saved at lunch, at my lunch table, because you're not even waiting for the club to do it, because who needs a club when you got Jesus Christ on the side of you? Because who, how do you get, what? See, here's the problem. They never took prayer out of schools. This, every time I hear an old person say, it's because we have school shootings because they took prayer out of schools. You know, they never took prayer out of schools. People just stopped praying. That's the problem. And you were never allowed to pray in school. You weren't. The problem was they never took prayer out of schools. People just stopped bringing prayer to school. And I believe it's time for somebody to say, oh, well, don't mind if I bring it back. I got a little extra room in my backpack. I'll put a little prayer in there, and let's do that. You see, these are the things that we have lined up for this year. I mean, in addition to getting our small groups going, in addition to all the other good stuff that we always do, I'll talk about that next week. We got a couple of things lined up. I want to get you guys involved with, but that's for next week. I want you guys to pay attention to what's going on, because I would like to see our youth ministry grow in the invisible, in your faith. And you know, of course, I'd like to see every chair filled. That's kind of cool too. But I don't mean a thing, because I've been youth pastor long enough to have to bring out chairs. I'm like, oh my gosh, everybody's here, and then only see them, you know, jack their life up and go to hell afterwards. So I don't care about butts and chairs. What I care about is hearts on fire. So let's do that this year. Let's let God work the invisible. And the moment you think that God's not answering your prayer, we'll begin to realize, no, God's just working the answer in me with my prayer. And he's making me strong on the inside so he can make the thing happen on the outside. Because you see, with Elijah, it all started with the whisper. It wasn't the big, the bang, the boom. It was the whisper first. You see, with the disciples, 120, let me get, I don't know whoever's on the keyboards, if it's Aaron, just a little, thank you. Oh boy, yeah. Yeah. I know, like, boy. Let's do this. You see, with the disciples, the 120 of them, and they just kind of met together in a prayer meeting. And after a while, it wasn't right away.